弟兄姐妹平安。
Peace to be with you all, brothers and sisters.
我想我们中国人啊，我们都经常会有很多的成语。那我想再跟大家分享一句，就是我们中国人一句很熟悉的成语，就叫做物以类聚，人以群分。
I'm sure all of you know a lot of Chinese idioms. There's one I want to share with you. It's birds of a feather flock together.
就是说类似的人，人都喜欢和自己秉性类似的人聚在一起。
Which means people of similar mind fall into the same group.
那反过来说，如果在一起待久的人的话，可能就会形成一些他们所特有的一些共性。
In the contrary, when people are different, they come together for a while, they'll develop similar habits.
我想我们主爱之家到今年已经满了三年。
The House of Christ Love is 3 years old.
我想问一下，在我们在一起待了这么久的弟兄姐妹，我们是不是有这样的一个经历？
I would like to ask you all whether you have the similar experience I had.
我想问一下大家，是不是有机会去过佳慧弟兄和芬兰姐妹的家中？
Have you ever had a chance to go to Kaifan and Finland's house?
那去过的人们举下手，看一看。
For those who have went, please raise your hand.
我觉得至少有一半的人都去过。
At least half of you have went.
那重点不在这个地方，重点是我想问一下大家，有没有和我一样有这样的经历，就是去他们家的时候会迷路？
The point is, have you guys ever gotten lost like I have?
那我是大概从三年前的时候我就开始送 Hannah 去芬兰老师家去学钢琴。
About 3 years ago, I started taking Hannah to Finland's house for piano lessons.
那芬兰老师很有爱心啊，他看到我因为我上班不方便嘛，所以他就把最方便也是就是每一天最晚的那个上课的时间就留给了 Hannah.
Sister Finland was very kind and thoughtful, knowing that I have to work. Therefore, she left the latest and the most convenient class time for Hannah.
我们大概是五月份开始上课，刚开始几个月的话都没有什么问题。
We started about mid-May-ish, and there were no problems before.
但是到了那一年的十一月份，也就是这个日光节约时间结束的那一天。
And November, the day after daylight savings ended.
结束后的第一次去上课，那天天也特别黑，还下着雨。
The first class after daylight savings, it was very dark and rainy.
我开车，我到了芬兰姐妹家的附近，我就迷路了。
And I got lost in the vicinity of Finland's house.
我怎么找都找不到。
And I can't find it at all.
那我没办法，我就只好停下来，决定用 GPS 来带着我去。
Therefore, I stopped and then wanted to use a GPS to lead me.
那在我凭着记忆力把这个芬兰老师家的这个地址输入 GPS 的时候，Hannah 就问了我一个问题。
When I put down the address from memory, Hannah asked me this question.
她就说，为什么这个 GPS 可以把我们带到芬兰老师家？
How can the GPS take us to Finland, Teacher Finland's house?
那时候他才三岁，才五岁多，那我也没有办法，我对 GPS 也不了解，所以我只能用最简单的话来跟他解释。
So then I don't really know about GPS that much, and Hannah was only 5, so I used the simplest way to explain to her.
我就说这个车上的 GPS 呢，和天上的一个东西连在一起。
So I said the GPS in the car is connected to something up in the sky.
那个 something 这个天上这个东西呢 ，in the sky 呢，他就知道芬兰老师家在什么地方。
And that something up in the sky knows where Auntie Teacher Finland's house.
所以这个 GPS 就可以把我们带到芬兰老师家。
Therefore, it can lead us to Teacher Finland's house.
那汉娜听了以后，她好像听明白了，她就回答说：“那天上这个东西就像神一样。”
Seems like Hannah understood. She was like, "So the thing is just like God."
她说因为神也可以带领我们去我们想要去的地方。
Because God can also lead us to the places that we want to go.
我想大概十年前左右，这个 GPS 进入我们寻常百姓家以后。
Since the day GPS emerged into our daily life about 10 years ago.
我觉得 GPS 可以说是在过去这十年当中，可能可以说是，对我来说至少是最重要的一个电子产品。
I can say it has become one of the most important electronic devices.
我觉得好像我的生活已经离不开它。
I feel like we cannot be separated from it.
我不知道在座的大家会不会听我这样说，会不会觉得说我有点夸大其词
？Maybe you think I over-exaggerated a little.
也许你会说，对啊，没有 GPS 的话，也许我们可能只是会走一些弯路而已。
Maybe without GPS, we might have to circle around a little.
也许没有 GPS, 我们就是只会错过一堂钢琴课而已。
Without it, we might just miss a class.
或者是误了和别人的约定。
Or delayed our meeting with someone.
但是我要说，如果在我们的人生道路里面，如果我们不知道自己的位置
，But I have to say, in our life, we do not know where we're going.
或者是看不清前面的方向，就像那天天很黑的时候
，Or not to be able to see what's ahead of us, like that rainy day.
那我们也许就永远都到不到神为我们预备的人生的目的地。
Then therefore, we may not be able to reach the destination of our life that God has planned for us.
我想从上个星期 六开始大家都很关注一个新闻的一个 news。
I'm sure since last Saturday, a lot of you have been following the news.
而就是关于马来西亚航空公司的一架班机。
Which is about the airplane that, from Malaysia.
那这马来西亚航空公司这架班机呢，它是从马来西亚飞往在飞往北京的途中呢就消失了，突然消失。
That flight was flying from Malaysia to towards Beijing, China. It disappeared in the middle.
那这个很多国家就参与这个搜索，但到至少到今天早上我来教会之前的话，这个搜寻的结果还是一无所获。
A lot of countries has been searching for it, and then since I checked the news this morning, it has not been found.
尽管我们其实现在还没有办法断言这次马来西亚航空公司这架飞机它失踪的这个原因或者最后的命运如何。
Even though we cannot say the ultimate destiny of the missing plane.
但是我想跟大家分享的是说，五年前在2009年的时候，法国航空公司有一起航空事故，可以说和马来西亚航空公司的这事故非常的类似。
But I want to share with you is about 5 years ago there was a similar thing that happened about Air France.
所以今天我的正道呢，就和法国航空公司的这架失事故的航班有关系。
So the message today I have for you is similar and has something to do with Air France.
好了，到下一页。那在2009年的5月31号的晚上10点多钟的时候，有一架载着216名乘客和12名机组人员的法航447号航班离开了巴西的里约热内卢机场。
Okay, May 31st, 2009, around 10:29 p.m., Air France Flight 447, carrying about 218 passengers and plus 12 staff members, departed from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro Airport.
他们的这个飞行的终点是大概是11个小时以后，飞行终点是会要飞到法国的巴黎。
Their destination is about Paris, France. The flight distance about 11 hours.
但是这个飞机起飞了3个小时以后呢，他和这个巴西的这个航管的部门进行了最后一次联系。
After flying for 3 hours, the captain of Air France 447 had a last radio communication.
他也报告了飞机航班在这个大西洋上的位置。
And it also told about it told about where it is at the Atlantic Ocean.
Next slide. 下一页。那我在现在看的这个照片，就是这个是失去联系的这个飞机的这个型号，就是空中客车的 A330号的这个飞机。
This is the most advanced flight, and it's A300.
那这个飞机的话，它号称是这个自动化的程度是非常的高，科技是非常的先进，所以这个飞机被号称是可以靠自己来飞行的飞翔的飞机。
Its high modernization and automation is seen as a plane that can fly by itself.
但是非常奇怪的就是当这架飞机它离开巴西以后，离开了巴西的这个航空管制区域以后，几个小时后没有出现在非洲的航空管制区域的雷达上。
So this plane after leaving the radar of Brazil, it did not appear on the Africa radar.
8个小时以后，也就是它最后一次联系以后，8个小时以后也没有能够安全的抵达飞行的终点，也就是法国的巴黎。
And after the 8 hours, it did not arrive in Paris, France.
最后这次空难事件的话呢，造成了飞机上的228人的全部遇难。
This air tragedy caused all 228 people to be lost and died.
这也是法国航空公司历史上最为严重的一起飞行事故。
And it is one of the most tragic aircraft.
所以你看这个。可能是法航的一个发言人或者总裁之类的，你看他的这个表情是非常的严肃。
You can see his facial expression.
那这个飞机的这个部分残骸的话，是在这个事故发生以后的第五天才被发现。
About 5 days later, the remains were found.
那但是呢，人家都很奇怪，说这样一件非常先进的空中客车的飞机，为什么会载着228名的乘客和机组人员一起葬身大西洋。
The question that people ask is, what caused a flight 447 to bring 228 people to be engulfed by Atlantic Ocean when it's so high-tech?
但这个谜底的话，其实过了两年之后，大约过了两年之后才被揭开。
And the answer for that was found 2 years later.
在2011年的4月2日，在1300尺深的海中，终于找到了俗称的黑匣子。
Okay, so April 2nd, 2011, in the deep sea of 13,000 feet, they finally found the recording, of Flight 447, which is known as a black box.
Yeah, 其实这个图上看的话，其实也不是 black box, 而是个 orange box.
It doesn't seem like a black box, it seems orange in that picture.
那这个黑匣子呢，它记录了法航的这个447号班机，它在坠毁前的那段非常惊恐的时刻。
The black box recorded the terrifying moment, before the plane crash of Flight 447.
他也告诉了大家，在最后那段时间，这法航的这个飞机发生了一些什么样的事情。
And also shows what happened before it crashed.
Go to the next page. 好，你看这个图的话呢，就是显示这个当时法航447号班机最后失事之前的那几分钟的时间所经历的。这个高度是35,000尺。
This shows what happened before the plane crash.At the top is this 35,000 feet above sea level.
我这里可以问大家，知不知道从这个时候开始到这个最后坠落，大概经过了多少时间？大家知不知道
？I want to ask you, do you know how much time it took for it to go from 35,000 feet to zero? Do any of you know how?
Anyone want to 有没有人想猜一下
？Anyone want to guess how much time it took?
No, not that bad.
Not that bad for 1 minute.
Oh, it's not that good.
An hour?
15 minutes.
4 minutes, 20 seconds around.
4 minutes, 27 seconds?
Yeah. 大概四分二十来秒就从35,000尺的高空啊，就是10,000多米的高空，就坠落在大西洋里面。
About 4 minutes, it's dropped completely.
Yeah, 所以这些，但不到五分钟的时间呢，就坠落了。
It says within less than 5 minutes.
好，那我等一下，我想给大家放一段关于这个法航447号航班的这个事故的一个影片。
So I want to invite you to watch a short clip with me.
在这十几分钟的这个影片当中呢，我想大家可不可以跟我一起一下啊，就来寻找一下有哪些原因导致了法航447号航班坠落。
So I it's about 15 minutes. So I want everyone to find the causative agent of the plane crash.
好了，更重要的是，我想大家可不可以我们一起来思考一下，从这个事故当中，我们可不可以学到哪一些属灵的功课
？And also, I want you to think about what kind of spiritual lessons we can learn from it.
是不是这个是不是？不是。
That's photo gallery. I think the one next to it. Okay.
Air France Flight 447 has flown into a storm, and its speed sensors have cut out. The plane's autopilot is shut down, handling control.
Ça n'affiche pas la bonne vitesse. On a perdu la vitesse, c'est ça ?
You've got to rely on your instruments, and of course, if your instruments are now faulty or telling you wrong information, then it's difficult to know where to take that, because you train to rely on these things.
Bonin decides to trust the instruments. He pulls back the stick, and the plane starts to rise.
The aircraft will go up quite rapidly. In fact, at one point it's climbing at 7,000 feet a minute, which is a very high rate of climb at that altitude.
Because he was going uphill into very thin air that the aircraft couldn't be supported by while it was at its weight, the aircraft started slowing down, just like if you leave your foot on the accelerator of a car and it starts to go up a hill, it will slow down unless you give it more gas. So this aeroplane was slowing down.
Now, another alarm rings out.
Stall.
The stall warning.
Stall.
A stall happens when the aircraft is going too slowly for the wings to produce sufficient lift, and therefore the aircraft starts to drop. It starts to fall. Stops flying, starts falling.
Stall.
To prevent the plane falling, Bonin needs to act quickly.
Stall.
When the stall warning occurred, pilots are expected to take an immediate action of changing the attitude, push forward on the side stick, reduce the angle of attack, and therefore recover from the stall.
The way to recover that is to get your speed back. And the way to get your speed back is to put the nose down and go downhill.
But Bonin doesn't put the nose down. He keeps the stick back, and the aircraft gains even more altitude, whilst continuing to lose speed.
I'm only left to draw the conclusion that they didn't believe that the aircraft was stalled.
The black box records show that one of the three speed sensors that had frozen now starts working again.
Unfortunately, when the airspeed indications came back online, the aircraft attitude and various other parameters of the aircraft had changed quite dramatically.
Now, some new sensors come back in with valid information that didn't look valid because everything else was so totally messed up.
Fais attention à ta vitesse. Fais attention à ta vitesse. Okay, okay, je vous laisse. Stabilise. Ouais.
And that's really where things went from a very benign circumstance to a rapidly escalating out of control circumstance.
Robert presses the crew call button.
Stall.
He wants to get Captain Dubois back from his break and onto the flight deck. But there's no answer. Air France 447 is now 7 miles above the sea and still climbing.
Once you're going up very, very fast, the speed is decaying very, very rapidly. If you kept pulling back, then you'd increase the rate of climb to a point and the speed would decay until you got towards the point where the aircraft stalled. And then everything changes very dramatically.
Now, at nearly 38,000 feet, Flight 447 starts to drop. Just under a minute after he was first called, Captain Dubois returns to the cockpit, taking the jump seat behind the younger officers.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe? Je sais pas ce qui se passe. Là, le contrôle de l'avion.
totalement perdu le contrôle de l'avion. On comprend rien. On a tout tenté.
When the captain emerged onto the flight deck, that was a point at which a fresh set of eyes could have made sense of what was actually going on, and there was still time to recover the aircraft.
There wasn't any conversation about here's what happened and here how we got into it.
I think it would be very difficult for somebody just walking straight onto a flight deck to suddenly instantly determine, oh, you are in a deep stall descending at 10,000 feet a minute with a high nose attitude, you need to do this.
Alors tiens, prends ça. Prends ça. Le problème, c'est que j'ai pris de l'avion. D'accord.
The variometer, the instrument that measures the vertical speed of the aircraft, has stopped working.
J'ai plus rien qui s'affiche. On n'a pas une seule indication valide.
They were faced with unreliable indications of things, and they were trying to make sense of what was reliable and what the aeroplane was actually doing. So they were struggling to know what you could believe and what you couldn't believe.
Because Bonin is still pulling the stick back, the nose is up and the plane is stalling. He thinks the plane is going too fast and moves to put on the air brakes.
That point is absolutely the wrong thing to do. The problem already was going too slow and not having enough lift. The speed brakes would have made that worse.
David Robert rapidly overrules the man flying the plane.
Non, non, surtout sors pas les freins. Non? Okay. Les sors pas.
The aircraft now falls to below 30,000 feet, but they still have time to recover the situation.
If they had stuck the aircraft's nose down and applied a decent amount of power, they could have recovered completely from the stall and, with an undamaged aeroplane, resumed the flight.
Robert now takes over control of the plane without issuing the customary verbal acknowledgement. But he doesn't realize that Bonin is still pushing back on his stick, and the crew concentrate on getting the wings straight rather than powering the plane downwards out of the stall.
They didn't understand what was happening to the aeroplane. They didn't have the picture they had in their head of what was going on was so confused that the actions they took, which they hoped would recover the aeroplane, were absolutely the wrong actions.
On tire, qu'est-ce que t'en penses? Qu'est-ce que t'en penses? Qu'est-ce qu'il faut faire? Je sais pas.
They were suddenly faced with something they'd never experienced before, and therefore there was a moment of complete shock, and known as the startle effect. A lot of things were happening all at the same time, and they didn't quite know exactly what was happening.
We'll never know what was going on actually in the heads of those pilots. All we know is that they were confused. Exactly what picture they had of what was going on, we'll never know.
The stall alarm, having rung 58 times, now cuts out.
The computer this stopped telling the pilots that the aircraft was stalled because it had gone into realms that the computer just didn't recognize.
The computers have switched off. They've said, sorry, there's no information here that I can work with, so I'm out.
The ocean is now just 20,000 feet below the rapidly descending plane.
The aircraft went down that way with an average rate of descent of 10,000 to 15,000 feet a minute. That is quite a lot. And that means there was an awful noise.
The aerodynamic noise was terrific because there was so much turbulence being generated by the wing.
Robert Robert thinks he is flying the plane, but doesn't seem to realize that Bonin is still pulling back on his stick and still keeping the nose of the plane up. It certainly appears that there was a breakdown of the discipline and communication with it on that flight deck.
They're flying through, they saw flight level 100, which is 10,000 feet. I think that was a point where we went from, we have some time to figure this thing out, to like, we might not be able to save ourselves.
This aircraft was falling out of the sky like a stone. It was absolutely not flying. It was falling. And it was falling with its nose pointed upwards.
Captain Dubois now gets the vital information. He realizes Bonin has been pulling back on the stick, pushing the nose up, and stalling the aircraft. To get out of the stall, Robert knows he must get the nose of the plane pointing downwards.
Alors donne-moi les commandes. À moi les commandes.
The aircraft was mushing down like that, nose in the air, and it was mushing down through the sky like that.
As they near 2,000 feet, the aircraft's ground proximity warning system detects the ocean below, and a new warning sounds.
Hold up! Hold up! Tigre! Hold up! Hold up!
Allez, on tire! On tire!
Hold up! Hold up!
Pas tapé!
Hold up!
Mais c'est pas vrai!
Hold up!
Mais qu'est-ce qui se passe? J'ai trouvé l'assiette?
Recording stops at 02 hours, 14 minutes, 28.4 seconds.
Wow, 我不知道大家会不会和我一样，这个是几年前的事情， 但是我在家里看这个录像的时候，我都觉得心里非常非常的紧张。
I don't know if you have the same feeling. When I was watching at home, my heart was like pumping really hard.
那我刚才跟大家在看之前，我就问了大家一个问题。 我们看了这段影片以后，我们有没有能够想一想，有哪一些原因导致法航的447次航班坠落大西洋？
So I asked you this question earlier. If you can think of a question that caused the plane to drop.
同时我们要想一下，从这些原因当中，我们可不可以学到一些属灵的功课？
And also from this, whether we can learn spiritual lessons from it.
那我想我学到的第一个功课就是，我们知道看了这段影片，我们知道。 它有一个很重要的一个测速的设备，叫做空速测量仪。
So in there, I see that there is something called pitot tube.
我看到这个空速测量仪呢，它因为这个在高空结冰的缘故，就引起了一些故障。
And that is a pressure measurement instrument used to measure fluid flow velocity. Its icing up was the trigger for the following man-made mistake that caused the tragedy.
Yeah, 因为它这个故障的话，它读速不准确。 所以就引起了很多一系列的人为的失误，最后导致了法航的447次飞机航班坠落。
Because of it not giving the right measurement and the number, therefore it caused the tragedy.
我知道如果没有这个空速测量仪的话，没有这个正确的读数，即使是在影片当中我们看那些非常有经验的这些飞行员，他们都没有办法能够判断出这个飞行的飞机的飞行速度。
Without the pitot telling the number, even the most experienced pilot was not able to tell the actual speed of the plane.
当时我们看到这个法航的这趟飞机，它的飞行速度已经非常的低，已经不能产生足够的升力来保持这个飞机的正常的飞行。
At the moment, we see that the plane is actually going a lot slower. It cannot produce enough lift force to maintain the plane's normal state.
啊，但是我看到这个有个这个第二副驾驶的话，他却以为说他误以为说这个飞机的飞行速度其实是过高的飞行速度。
But the second co-pilot thought that the plane was going too fast.
啊，而且不但如此，随着这个空速测量仪的这个故障，机舱当中的其他的一些显示器也给了一些相互矛盾的一些指示。
And because of the problem with the pitot, which and other monitors in the operating room gave conflicting numbers.
啊，那我们看到这个在里面的三个飞行员的话，他们都陷入了非常困惑当中，真的是不知所措。
And all three pilots were confused and don't know what to do.
他们曾经可能获得过很多的一些的飞行的技能，但是他们获得这些飞行的技能，都必须依赖各样的仪器给他们提供正确的信息。
They might have had a lot of flight experiences, but they all need to have the monitors telling them the numbers in order to follow through.
如果缺少了这些仪器的这些帮助，他们就没有办法能够搞清楚飞机所处的真实的状态。
Without the monitors' help, they would not know the actual state of the plane.
他们也就没有办法采取有效的措施，将飞机从这个失速当中能够解救出来。
And they would not be able to help. To catch up the speed.
我想我们每一个人啊，在我们的生命当中，我们可能都有一些我们自己所依赖的东西。
And I'm sure for all of us, we have something to rely on in our life.
啊，我有很多学生回来，然后想学生他们所依赖的可能是他们聪明的头脑或者各个方面的各样的才艺。
And I'm sure for the students, they rely on their brain power and all the skills that they have.
啊，对我们上班族来说，我想我们啊所依赖的可能是啊我们的职位、我们的工作经验，或者是有一个挺你的老板。
And for us working men and women, we rely on our job, our work experience, and our social network.
啊，我想对退休一族来说的话，我想他们依赖的话是啊自己的好的身体，或者是理财的知识，啊更重要的也是退休账户上的那个数字。
And for the retirees, they rely on their knowledge of finance and the numbers on their account.
我想如果我们离开了这些东西，好像我们就觉得自己好像有点寸步难行。
And we feel like when we leave these things that we rely on, we cannot move an inch.
但是我们也知道诗篇也告诉我们说君王不能因兵多而得胜。
But in Psalm it tells us that no king is saved by the size of his army.
勇士也不能因为力大而得救。
And no warrior escapes by his great strength.
靠马得救的是枉然，马不能因为力大救人。
A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save.
而且不论我们依靠的什么东西，这些外在的依靠都会有一天会有让我们失望的时候。
It doesn't matter what we rely on. These things on the outside will one day fail us.
我想有一天神也许也会把我们所依靠那些东西给挪去。
Maybe God will take all those things away from us.
因为我想神，因为他这样做，他想让我们知道，只有他才是我们永久的帮助。
Because He wants us to rely on Him and know that He is our eternal help.
如果大家记得的话，我们上个星期讲到了基甸的故事。
Like last week, we mentioned about the story of Gideon.
Gideon.
Okay.
神不要基甸依赖他的30,000的军队。
God does not want him to rely on his 30,000 soldiers.
甚至也不要他依赖他的10,000的人马。
Nor his 10,000 men.
他因为他要神要他要基甸和以色列民看到，有了耶和华以后，即使只有300名举着火把和号角的以色列人，照样的可以战胜米甸130,000的军队。
He wants him and the Israelites to know that even with 300 men holding torches and trumpets, it is enough to defeat 130,000 of Midian soldiers.
只要有了神的同在，有了耶和华的同在，300人可以战胜130,000人的军队。
With God, 300 men is enough to defeat 130,000.
那我想我学到的这个第二个功课的是，我们看到当时在前面飞机。在一个良好的飞行条件中飞行的时候，飞机是处于一种自动的飞行状态。
The second lesson I learned is that when the plane was flying in good condition, it was flying autopilot.
那我们可以不难想象啊，像我们这个在影片中看的这些飞行员，他们应该都非常的习惯，也非常的享受这样的自动的飞行的状态。
It is not hard to imagine that pilots are used to this kind of flying process, autopilot.
可是当一旦有一些不确定的因素出现的时候，当需要停止自动飞行的模式转入手动飞行的模式的时候，他们就发现出了问题。
But when the unknown factor happens, the pilot needs to take off from autopilot and go into manual control. They will be confused.
Yeah, 他们会意识到，他们尽管好像上面写的他们原来有几千个小时的飞行时间，但是那几千小时的飞行时间其实都是大打了折扣的。
And the thousands of hours of flying experience seems to be useless during that time.
也许他们曾经也练就了很多的一些技术，但是早已经生疏了。
Maybe the skills that they have learned has already become unfamiliar to them.
或者他们有很多的经验，但是这些经验也根本就不够应付这些复杂的飞行条件。
They might have also a lot of experiences, but those experiences are not even close enough to cope with the difficulties during the flight condition.
我想我们在教会当中的服事也时常会有这样的情形。
I'm sure when we are serving church, we have this kind of similar conditions.
我们想我们信主，我们在座的大家信主的时间可能都不短。
I'm sure all of you have been a believer for a while.
我们可能也非常的习惯一种固定的模式来敬拜，一种固定的模式来侍奉主。
And we are very comfortable with the way that we come worship and serve.
如果教会是在这种照旧 business as usual 的这种情况下，我们就会觉得非常的舒服。
And we feel very comfortable under this business usual event.
我想我们在这种情况下，我们觉得我们不需要做任何的改变，也不需要有经过任何的挑战或者操练。
And we do not need to learn or need to be challenged during these kind of circumstances.
我想这个我们如果在座里面弟兄姐妹中有带过星期五的小组聚会的弟兄姐妹，可能也会有这样的感受。
I'm sure some brothers and sisters who have left Friday fellowships might have this same thoughts.
如果我们带这个小组星期五小组聚会的时候，如果时间久了以后，我们发现带领聚会为带领聚会做准备的话，这样的一个事情会变成像例行公事一样。
After a while, the preparation for fellowship has become a routine activity for them.
我有时候发现说，不论我们参加小组聚会的成员的属灵生命怎么样，也不论他们有什么样不同的属灵的需要。
Doesn't matter what the spiritual life or the needs are with each and every one.
我们都可能是使用同样的一个解经的材料。
We'll use the same kind of study guide for everyone.
或者我们也是采用一个固定的一个解经的模式。
Or a shortcut for the preparation.
对我来说的话，我就很喜欢用有一个 website。
For me, I like to use a specific website.
我每次要查经前，我去那里看。
Every time I have to prepare for fellowship, I will go onto that website.
我觉得这样的准备方式其实好像听起来其实效率非常的高。
It seems very productive.
透露一个消息，我习惯了以后，我大概不到三四分钟，我就可以准备好。
Tell you inside story. It takes me only about 30 minutes to prepare with that website.
对我们这些现代忙碌的现代人来说，它的吸引力不可谓不大。
To us busy people, it seems very pleasing, doesn't it?
但是可是问题是，如果我们采用这样的方式来带小组的话，如果小组成员有不同的属灵的需要的话，他们不同的需要可能就得不到真正的满足。
But with this kind of preparation and with the different kind of people coming, this kind of preparation might not seem to be a good choice.
而且有些时候可能小组成员他们也不按牌理出牌，他们问的问题也不是你先预先想的，或者他们这个问的这个问题也不是按你的思路去想，你就会发现你自己变得好像毫无准备，手足无措。
And a lot of times, not everyone come every week, and then when they come and ask questions, they do not follow your train of thought, and therefore you become very confused and don't know what to do.
就像刚才在这个影片中的这几个飞行员一样。
Just like those pilots in the clip.
Yeah, 当气象条件改变的时候，他们要手动操作的时候，当这个设备不给他们正确的读数的时候，他们就完全的 lost。
When they're under manual control, and the monitors do not tell them the correct numbers. They don't know what to do.
我想一个成长的教会应该是一个充满了活力的一个教会。
For me, I think a growing church must be an organic and active church.
不该是一个好像一切照旧，一切都是 business as usual 的这样的一个教会。
And not a business as usual church.
因为一个如果是 business as usual 的一个这样的一个死气沉沉的教会的话，它就会慢慢的会失去动力，失去速度。
And a business casual stagnant church will lose its push and speed.
当你失去了这个动力和速度的时候，就会像法航的这个447次航班一样，当你失去了速度的时候，失速开始的时候，你就得不到足够的升力，然后你就会开始下坠。
Just like the flight 447, when you lose the speed, you will lose the uplifting force.
那我们来看看我们这个我学到的第三点。
And let's see the third thing that I've learned.
第三点的话就是我们看到在这个法航的447次航班，他在进入这个复杂的气象的飞行之前，他们真正的这个机长 Captain 就离开了他的机长的主驾驶的这个位置。
So before the flight entered the complicated weather, the captain of the plane was actually not there.
他把整架飞机228人的这个命运都交在了三个飞行员当中最缺乏飞行经验的第二副驾驶的手上。
He left the lives of all those 228 people on the plane to the most inexperienced second co-pilot.
我们可以说他没有坚守住自己的岗位。
We can say that he did not fulfill his duty.
更重要的，他也没有做一个正确的决定，没有说要 采取一个正确的决定来规避前面的风暴。
And he did not make the right choice, to avoid the storm ahead.
我想他之所以出现这样的问题，我想源于他可能根本就没有看见前面有潜在的威胁。
Maybe one of the reasons is that he did not see a storm ahead.
我想我们属灵的眼睛，我们经常说我们有时候属灵是瞎眼的，我们属灵的瞎眼也有同样的危害。
And for spiritually blind, we have the same danger.
当我们看不到教会或者属灵生命里面有隐藏的危险的时候，
When we do not see the church or spiritual life having a danger,
我想我们的心就会变得很松懈。
Then we become very, very laid back.
以至于在风暴来临的时候，我们就会发现这风暴好像措不及防，我们没有办法站立得住。
And during storm, we will not be able to stand.
我就很想到说，在主耶稣他被卖的那一夜。
And I think about the night that Jesus was betrayed.
他跟他的门徒说了这么几句话。
He said these following lines to his disciples.
他对他的门徒说，你们要在这里等候，和我一同警醒。
He told his disciples, stay here and keep watch with me.
他然后又说到，总要警醒祷告，别免得入了迷惑。
And he also said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
好了，我又想到另外一个圣经中的人物，就是诺亚。
And I also thought of another biblical person, Noah.
他得到了神的这样的一个启示，他需要来神要他造一座方舟。
God has given him a vision to build the ark.
我们都知道，在那个时候，其实他们在的地方应该是比较干旱的一个地方。
The place that he was during that time, it was pretty dry.
那我想，当他听到神的这样的一个启示，说要造方舟，他就开始造的时候，他除了是顺服以外。
And I'm sure during that time when God told him the vision of building the ark, besides obedience to God,
我想他可能他的眼睛当中，他也看到一些世人所看不见的东西。
He also saw something that no one else saw.
他可能也看到了在那个干旱的天气的背后，可能会有不久以后会有风暴要来临。
He sees that during that dry area, there might be a storm coming.
这法航的447次航班上，他有三名的飞行员。
In the flight 447, there were three pilots.
本来你想说有三双的眼睛应该可以更好的发现飞行当中出现的任何的问题或者是失误。
In theory, there are three sets of eyes that can easily spot the problem.
可是我们当看到当这个第二副驾驶飞行员将这个飞机的这个操控权交给第一副驾驶的时候，第一副驾驶他却没有发现，其实这个第二副驾驶他仍然将他的操纵杆这个操纵杆这个 stick 还是往后拉的，使机头上扬。
When the second pilot gave the control to the first co-pilot, he did not realize that second co-pilot still pulled the controller back, pointing the head upward.
那我发现我们看到一分钟以后，当这个机长回到驾驶舱以后，他也没有及时的发现有这样的一个致命的错误。
And when the captain returned, he himself didn't realize the problem either.
等他真正的发现这个错误的时候，飞机的高度只有大概8000尺的高度。
When he actually finally realized the plane was only 8,000 feet above sea level.
在那样的高度的话，他可能已经没有办法，已经失去了这样的一个机会，能够把飞机重新的从这个失速当中解脱出来。
And during that time, they already lost the chance of pulling back up.
我想神真的是非常的怜悯我们。
And I know that God has mercy on us.
他知道我们其实是非常的软弱，也非常的小心。
He knows that we are weak and we are slow of faith. Low faith.
他在我们的周围摆了许许多多的弟兄姐妹。
He has provided us with many brothers and sisters.
我想他有摆上这么多的弟兄姐妹，我们不单只是可以有些 social 的 life.
Not just have social life with each other.
我不是说 social life 不重要。
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing.
但是我想说，他摆上这个弟兄姐妹，他有一个很重要的原因。就是为了让我们可以彼此的守望相助。
The most important thing for us to have brothers and sisters so that we can sharpen each other.
而且不但如此，他也在圣经当中也记载，在我们前面设立了像保罗和巴拉巴，以及保罗和提摩太这样的同工。
He has also planned us, Paul and Barnabas, and also Paul and Timothy, kind of co-worker in our life.
Yeah, 把他们作为我们的榜样。
That they can be our examples.
我想在一个我们教会叫主爱之家。
Our church name is House of Christ Love.
在一个蛮有爱的教会当中，弟兄姐妹的爱不单只是停留在嘴上。
In a church filled with love, our love amongst each other should not just stay on our lips.
我想我们的爱应该停留在，我们应该也体现在我们弟兄姐妹之间可以有彼此的担待之上。
It should be among us, through our actions.
就像加拉太书的第六章第二节有这样说到。
Just like Galatians chapter 6, 2 says.
他说你们个人的重担要互相担当，如此就完全了基督的律法。
Carry each other's burdens, and in the same way, you will fulfill the law of Christ.
那我看到这个影片当中我学到的第四点功课是。
The fourth thing that I learned from the clip was.
我们看到法航的这447次航班，它最后葬身海底的一个直接的原因，就是因为飞机陷入了失速，也就是 stall， 陷入了失速之中。
One of the direct factor of Flight 447 dropping into the ocean was because it was stalling.
在我们刚刚看到的非常惊恐的这个短短的四五分钟时间里面，飞机失速的这个警报啊，这警告就响了，他没听错的话是五十几次之多。
In the short time, short amount of time, alarm of stalling, it went off about like 50 plus times.
因为飞机的这个速度不够失速，所以它得不到足够的这个升力。
Because of stalling, the uplift force it receives is not enough to maintain the normal flight.
所以这飞机就开始以每分钟一万英尺的高速向下坠落。
Therefore, the plane started to drop 10,000 feet per minute.
如果我要是不懂的话，我觉得这个第二副驾驶做了一个非常好的一个 action， 一个动作。
If I don't know anything about it, I would think the second co-pilot did something, a natural human response.
Yeah, 非常好的一个动作是什么？他就是把这个机头要拉起来。
Which was pulling the head of the plane upwards.
但是如果你真的知道的话，我们看了影片也知道，当你这个机头处于一个大的仰角的时候，飞机的失速其实是会变得更加的严重。
When you're pointing the head of the plane upwards, it gives a large pitch attitude, and then it will go up. It will actually make the situation worse.
如果要从失速下坠的这个当中摆脱出来的话，正确的操作的话，应该是不是把机头拉起来，而是压低机头，让这个飞机获得更高的速度。
To come out of stalling, the actual thing you should do is, he need to lower the head of the plane to gain the speed, so you can stop the plane from dropping completely.
我们每个人在一生当中都积累了不少的知识或者人生的经验。
So many of us gain a lot of experience and knowledge in our life.
我们也经常说不听老人言，吃亏在眼前。
And we always think that if we don't listen to other people, we will have loss.
所以这就是告诉我们说，人生的经验是有很多的价值。
And that tells us that life lessons are really, really important. And they're high valued.
但是我们也知道，并不是我们所有的人生经验或者知识是出于真理。
But not all the things that we learn come from the truth.
如果我们把这些所有的这些知识或者人生或者是人生的经验都当作是我们人生的最高的一个准则的时候
，If we put all these things and life experience as the most important thing，
那我们可能就像法航447次航班的这个飞行员一样。当应该将机头往下压的时候，他却凭着他自己的经验把飞机机头往上拉。
Then we might do the same thing that the co-pilot did. Instead of putting the plane head downwards, he was pulling it and then having the head going upwards.
我们想要正确的飞行的话，我们必须要了解飞机的飞行原理和飞机的一些操作的规则。
In order for us to know how to fly correctly, we must know the fundamental and principles. Of operating the plane.
同样的，如果我们要过一个向上提升的人生的话，我们也必须要能够明白我们人生的指南。
Similarly, if we want to live an upward life, we need to understand the compass of our life.
而神的话语就是我们人生的指南。
And God's word is that compass.
我记得我们教会有弟兄好像说过，如果说人是神所创造的产品的话。
I remember hearing from a brother in a church. He says this thing: "If we are the creation of God,
那神的话语就是我们这件产品的使用手册。
Then God's word, which is the Bible, will be the solution manual, user manual."
但是如果我们光明白神的话语，其实还是不够的。
Just knowing the word is not enough.
我们还必须要有信心。
We also need to have faith.
愿意在生活中顺服神的带领，按照他的话去做。
Willing to obey his command and follow his words in every day.
如果我们大家想一想，当这个飞机以这样高的速度下坠的时候，下坠的时候
，We think about it when the plane is dropping at the in that speed.
尽管你明白道理，你知道说你要把机头往下压。
Even if we understand the principle of pulling the head of the plane downward.
但是我想，可能很多的人都没有这个信心把机头往下压。而是想把机头往上拉，想拼命的提升上去。
A lot of us might not have enough faith to pull it downward, but instead pulling upwards so that the plane can go up, hoping.
因为我们知道， 我们当我们的信心不够的时候，我们很多时候我们就不会凭着神的话语，我们凭的就是我们自己的经验，凭着我们自己的眼睛所看见的来处理问题。
A lot of times when we don't have enough faith, we will not follow God's word. We'll follow our own experience and follow what we see and do.
好，我想讲一下这个旧约当中的这个但以理这么一个人物。
In the Old Testament, there was this person.
Daniel.
好，
我们知道但以理他被王使用，而遭到其他的大臣的嫉妒，所以他们就想要设计谋要来陷害他，置他于死地。
He was greatly loved by the king, but the others were jealous of him, and they were trying to trying to conspire against him.
但是当但以理知道了神所颁布的一个禁令以后，就是禁止他们向除了王以外的任何人或者神祷告。
So therefore, they have this plan of besides the king, they cannot worship anyone else.
但是但以理他知道了这样的一个禁令以后，他回到自己家中。他仍然一日三次双膝跪在地上，跪在他的神的面前来祷告感谢。
Even knowing that he can only pray to worship the king, he still came home and prayed on his knees 3 times a day to thank God.
而且他楼上的窗户是开着的，是朝着耶路撒冷的方向。
And the window upstairs is towards Jerusalem.
在有王的这个禁令的时候，他没有停止祷告，他也甚至于没有关闭楼上的窗户。
During that time, he did not close the window. He still continued to pray.
他没有想说神知道我的内心，我还是可以把窗户关上。神知道我的内心，关上窗户也没关系。
So he didn't think that, oh, God knows my heart. Therefore, closing the window is okay.
我们看到，因为他继续的祷告，他因此被王扔到了狮子坑当中。
So therefore, because of his continual prayer, he was thrown into the lion den.
但是最后的结果，我们发现他毫发无损。而陷害他的那些人却反而命丧狮子坑。
So in the end, he actually was not harmed at all, but those who tried to conspire him, they were eaten in the lion, the den of lions.
而他所面临的这些危机，也就奇迹般的完全的被解除了。
And all those problems that he was facing, it just disappeared completely because God helped him.
好，我们想一下，如果在当时那个危机的情况下，他凭着自己的眼见，凭着自己的经验想来解决危机的话。
So I'm sure during that time, he were to use his own faith and what he has, what he knows then.
他可能就会选择说，哦，那我应该要停止祷告了。
Then he might just think that, oh, I should stop praying.
而他如果停止祷告的话，他也许可以躲过那一次的危机。
Maybe stop praying will just help him get through that time.
但是我们可以坚信，那些嫉妒他的大臣绝不会因此放手，还会继续用别的计谋来陷害他。
But I'm sure those conspired against him, they will think of other things to go against him.
所以他即使他想救自己，他也没办法能够救自己。
Even if he wants to save himself, he doesn't have the ability. He cannot save himself.
我想我们的教会叫主爱之家。
Our church name is House of Christ Love.
我们经常把我们的教会比作是一个属灵的家。
So a lot of times we say that this is a spiritual home.
但是我想，我们不单是一个家。我们也像是一架载着每一位弟兄姐妹飞行的一个属灵的一个航班。
This is not only a spiritual home for us, but also a spiritual plane carrying all of us together.
我们每一位弟兄姐妹都在这架飞机当中。
Every one of you are on this plane.
我们三年前，我们教会我们的飞机从这里起飞。
3 years ago, we have taken off here.
我们正按照神给我们预定的方向路线飞行。
We're following the route that God has planned for us.
真是感谢神的保守，我想我们在过去这3年多的时间里面，我们路上所遇到的基本上应该算是晴朗的天气。
Thank God's protection. These 3 years has been a sunny ride.
但是我想在我们在晴空万里的时候，我们还是要保持一颗警醒的心。
Even though it is a sunny time, we still need to maintain a watchful heart.
我们要学习怎么样来操练自己，预备自己，为了恶劣的天气来预备自己。
We need to continue to sharpen and prepare ourselves for the storms coming.
我们也必须学习如何去依赖神，而不是只是依靠我们外在的东西。
We need to learn to rely on God and nothing else.
很多的时候，我想能够让我们从险恶的困境当中摆脱出来的这样的机会、时机，非常的短暂，稍纵即逝。
A lot of times for us to get out of the storms, or it might be really, really short.
如果我们到了有危机来临的时候才开始去读神的话语，才去想神的话语的话，那已经 too late.
When the storm comes and we start to read God's word, it might be too late.
所以我们必须要熟读神的话语，才能在危机来临的时候，我们可以清清楚楚明白神的心意，而不至于动摇。
So we need to start preparing ourselves and learn God's word so that when the storm comes, we'll stand firm.
当我们做好了这些准备的时候，我们就可以坚信，将来如果真的有风暴来临的时候，我们可以坚信，我们如果凭着信心顺服神的带领，再加上我们弟兄姐妹之间我们彼此的守望相助，我们就一定可以战胜各样的风暴。
When storms come, we will be able to believe that as long as we have faith and obedience of God's guidance, plus brothers and sisters watching out for each other, we will definitely be able to overcome it.
我们就一定可以抵达神为我们预备的目的地。
And we'll definitely reach the destination that God has planned for us.
好，谢谢。
Thank you.
我们一起低头，我们来做一个祷告。
Let's pray together.
主，我们谢谢你，因为你是那一位为我们提供提升力的神。
Lord, we thank you because you're the God that gives us the uplifting force.
主，如果没有你，我们靠我们自己，我们没有办法过一个提升上升的生活。
Lord, without you, we will not have an uplifting life.
主，我们真的是要学习怎么样的来依靠你，而不是依靠我们自己个人的经验、个人外在的东西。
Lord, help us so that we do not rely on our own, and instead rely on you.
也给我们一颗警醒的心。
Also give us a watchful heart.
好让我们即使在风暴来临的时候，我们可以能够依靠主耶稣你的帮助，我们可以战胜这风暴。
So that when the storm comes, we will rely on you and be strengthened.
也就像我们前面诗歌所唱到的一样，我们可以如鹰展翅上腾。
Just like the song that we sang earlier, that we will soar on the wings of eagle.
谢谢我们的主。
Lord, we thank you.
我们在祷告祈求奉主的名。
And pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.